Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We're in the book of Hebrews today, so go to the end of the Bible, work your way backwards, several books, and right before James, you will find Hebrews. We're going to be reading chapters 5 through 7, taking some devotional pauses, and then thinking of some applications at the end before we close in prayer. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you so much for the book of Hebrews. And helping us to see how your son fulfills the law and how the law, the sacrificial system, was replaced by a new covenant, by an expanded law, by bringing in your son. And help me to understand it today and to know how to apply it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews 5. Every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters relating to God to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as for the sins of the people. And no one takes this honor on himself, but he receives it when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son, today I've become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son, though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Don't be confused by this idea of, you know, God recognizing him, becoming his father at some point, him becoming perfect. None of this in context, in a biblical context, means that Jesus had a beginning or that he was not always perfect. Talking about the timing of things, bringing everything into completion, fulfillment, which is what perfect means, at the right time, to show that he was the one they had been waiting for. Verse 11, "We have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." Chapter 6. "Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away to be brought back to repentance. To their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace." Now understand, there are a few places in Hebrews that are really hard because they act as though, they seem at first reading as though you can lose your salvation. But keep in the biblical context in your mind when you read this that true Christians will never lose their salvation. But those who may act like a Christian at first or say that they believe at first or pray some prayer, but it's not real, this describes what happens to them. Verse 7, "Land that drinks in the rain often falling on it and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are convinced of better things in your case, the things that have to do with salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. True faith endures." Verse 13. "When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the ears of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that, by two unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. All right. So this idea of Melchizedek, it points back to Genesis, that he was a type of Christ. And so Christ is seen as fulfilling that order, not the Aaron Levite order, as the high priest. Chapter 7. This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him, and Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. Then also, king of Salem means king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. Now, the law requires the descendants of Levi who become priests to collect a tenth from the people, that is, from their fellow Israelites, even though they are also descended from Abraham. This man, however, did not trace his descent from Levi, yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. And without doubt, the lesser is blessed by the greater. In the one case, the tenth is collected by people who die, but in the other case, by him who is declared to be living. One might even say the Levi who collects the tenth paid the tenth through Abraham, because when Melchizedek met Abraham, Levi was still in the body of his ancestor. Try to figure that out. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, and indeed the law given to the people established that priesthood, why was there still need for another priest to come, one in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron? For when the priesthood is changed, the law must be changed also. He of whom these things are said belonged to a different tribe, and no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah, and in regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. And what we have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appears, one who has become a priest, not on the basis of a regulation as to ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. For it is declared, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect, and a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath, but he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantor of a better covenant. Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office, but because Jesus lives forever, he is a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest truly meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men in all their weakness, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. That's the end of chapter 7, and that's the end of our reading for today. There's lots of things in here as it relates back to the Old Testament and goes through Melchizedek and how all this fits with the priesthood and with Christ that can be confusing for us. But what is it that captures your attention from these chapters? What is it that you can take with you? For me, it's just a reminder that the old covenant has been replaced by the new covenant. That the law has been fulfilled through Christ. That no longer is there a priest that stands before me and God except the priest Jesus Christ. that he is my mediator and the only mediator between me and God. That if we come to Christ, we are truly saved. And it's because of him who became our high priest and made the once for all sacrifice. That's who we trust in. That's who we praise. That's who we walk with. That's who we pray to. And that's why we know what the future will hold. What about you? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the book of Hebrews. Thank you, Father, for your son, who you made to be our high priest forever. The one who laid down his own life to sacrifice his blood for my sins. And that I've come to in repentance. And because of that, I will live eternity with you. So, Father, thank you for that. Help this to impact me each day as I live in the new covenant, as I live by faith in your Son. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.